Okay, we're in Perikei Mishnah Aleph, the paragraph beginning, Ulechein HaPegam Godoil. We're actually still in the middle of a thought. I try usually to do a complete thought each time, but I talked too much last time, so it took away from it. I mentioned to you last time that the theme of Reb Chaim Volozhin's presentation here is the idea that the human being is the center of everything that exists. The center of all the Olamos is the person. And I mentioned to you that in his lifetime, when the understanding of the universe is that a person is not physically the center of the universe, this was something that troubled a lot of people. Maybe still today it does. That if we're just a little speck in all of creation, so we don't count for much. If we're in the middle, then, I don't know, somehow there's this idea that it shows that we're very important. So he finishes his thought here in this paragraph. He says, he's trying to explain. The Mishnah said that when a person sins, he is ruining a world that was created with 10 mamores. So he explains that idea here. He says, L'chein ha-pagam gadol, ki lo, you have the, it's in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and the paragraph of L'chein. You have page number? I'll tell you, it's there somewhere. Kuf Ayin Aleph? Kuf Ayin Aleph, after the brackets. Oh, it's the last sentence in the paragraph, okay. When a person sins, it's not only he himself, but he damages the world. Put your hearts to trembling. The trembling. Let's say you would tell a person, after Rosh Hagadol, a Jew who's even a Rosh. Someone go over to a Jew and say, your sins are worse, they do more damage than Titus, who destroyed the second base of Mikdash, and Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first. He says, how can you talk to me that way? I'm as bad as Titus and Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the base of Mikdash. Chaim Volozhin says that maybe it is that way. When a Yid sins, his damage is in the higher worlds as well. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't have that power to do it. They were not Klal Yisrael. Even though they destroyed the building, meaning the Beis HaMikdash down here, im kozel nifka Beis HaMikdash shomailo, kim b'chatoenu. The heavenly Beis HaMikdash is damaged by us. V'yedei kach, yichlu gam heima lahachriv gam Beis HaMikdash shalomata hamuchov v'negdai. And through that, yochlu gam heima, they were able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash down here. V'amekoine nispalel, yoidea kemevi lamaila b'svach eitz kardumais. What does that mean? It's as if they held on to the kardumais, or the axes, in the heavenly bodies. When someone sins, he does destroy, even though he doesn't see a physical destruction, but he destroys in the heavens. Titus has a thought that they're destroying in the heavenly olamos, meaning the goyim who sinned, Titus who went in with a zayna like chata chata gedayla she'en l'maylam izeh. Avo be'emes, haloi ha'odam ba'atzmai mekudish kolu mikol olamos. It may be true that Nebuchadnezzar thought he destroyed the heavenly bodies, and Titus, who took a zayna to kodesh kodeshim, thought so. But the emes, the person himself, is holy on many levels, mekudish mehem, and holier than them, meaning that Klal Yisrael, they accepted the Torah as a totally different level. And a holy heart is holier than the physical Kodesh HaKadoshim. Even today, that there's no Beis HaMikdash, we say, concentrate your heart towards the Kodesh Kodeshim. Ube'es yitur yosar achal levavai. Ube'es yitur achal levavai. With a safna, with a safna. When a person strays after his heart and he thinks Mashavis knows, Hala Yechre Ishvi Allah Libe Q Machnizain Labes Kodesh HaKodesh Mamish Kamay Titus. So Titus brought it in physically, in the physical Beis HaMikdash, and you're bringing it in to the holy Beis HaMikdash. Chena Hidei Tshuva Misakne Kolei Lolois Kamay Shomru Chazal Gedele Tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKoved. Greatest Tshuva, it reaches the higher worlds. Vatikon Kolei Lomis Ramzu Chazal B'Medrash. And on fixing all the heavenly worlds, Chazal Wamaram is in the Medrash, Yedeha Yishloima. Oh, now we're going to get into something more in 1 minute. So till here, before we get to Shlomo HaMelech, what he's saying is that when a person sins, he's touching on something more than Titus and Nebuchadnezzar. Titus and Nebuchadnezzar touched the physical world and destroyed the physical world, but not anything spiritual. And the person who does an Aveira damages a spiritual world, and that damage is greater than anything physical. That's the idea that he's saying, and that the human being, especially a yid, specifically a yid, is able to damage all those worlds. Now here he says something. As you know, Shlomo HaMelech married women from all different countries. Specifically, Chazal say that on the night, he put this earlier, that on the night before the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash, before the Chanukah Sabayis, the day they're going to open the Beis HaMikdash, he married the daughter of Parai, which was his greatest downfall, was this woman who brought Avodah Zarah into the palace, behind his back. And it's very strange that he should choose to marry her. You know, like, you're pretty busy with the Beis HaMikdash celebrations, that's a time to make a chasana. So he explains as follows. The Medrash says such a lashon. Shlomo HaMelech knew how to sweeten the mustard. Who wants sweet mustard? But it means figuratively that things that are bitter, Shlomo HaMelech looked to make sweet. Shamru b'zera kaddish. The mahabech merira lemesika, looking to turn bitter into sweet. V'chashaycha lenahura. And light, and darkness into light. L'chein nasa nashim nachriyais. L'hazir es kol hashroshim l'mutav. The reason Shlomo HaMelech married foreign women is an attempt to bring the sources, the roots of all the nations, into a better place. Ach leichi kivein es hazman. Shlomo HaMelech's idea was right, but the time was not right for it. Ki lo yiya kein at es keitz. That idea can only take place when Mashiach comes. V'l'yachalahem ki loy molei sifgam adayin. And he wasn't able to do it because whatever had to be completed was not sifgam, was not maspik, it was not yet the time. L'chein adarabah noshav hitu es levavai. This thing with Shlomo HaMelech happens to be a very difficult thing. What he's saying is, the Shlomo HaMelech's kavana, we understand, even without going into Zayar HaKadosh, the idea of Shlomo HaMelech in taking other women was to spread the influence of the Torah and the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to other nations. As a matter of fact, it's not unique to Shlomo HaMelech. It was a common practice in the ancient world, even in the early 1900s when there were still dictators, and it was still the practice to marry royal family from other families. It is said famously that World War I was a war between three cousins, because the Tsar of Russia and the Kaiser of Germany and the King of what? Kaiser Wilhelm was in England. They were all linked through marriage. So it was a war of cousins on both fronts. So it's not so unusual just to say that Shlomo HaMelech did it in order to influence them. Now Chazal say that Shloisha Malchu Bekipa, there were a few people that ruled over the whole world. And one of them is Shlomo HaMelech. The Gemara actually says Shlosha without Shlomo HaMelech. And Gemara says you forgot to count Shlomo HaMelech. And it answers it didn't last his whole lifetime. But at some point he ruled the world. Now, Shlomo Melech didn't do any battles. He never went to battle. Mm. Right? He said, he was told, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to David, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash, you go to battle. Shlomo HaMelech is the Shalom, and he'll build it. So when we say that he ruled the world, it doesn't mean by military power, by military force. It means by influence. The greatness of Shlomo was such that he influenced the whole world. There is a rather controversial statement, but I believe it's said by the Ramah, that Greek philosophy is rooted in Shlomo HaMelech's teaching. That basically Shlomo HaMelech's teachings were very much the source for a lot of what eventually became a lot of the wisdom, in the world. And to that degree, he was successful. Now, the question is, what did he do wrong? If he had such a noble idea, so what did he do wrong? I mean, he didn't know that this woman is bringing Avodah Zarah into his house. I'm sure he made attempts to make sure it didn't happen. So there are two approaches. One is the one Rav Chaim Volozhiner says here, and I'll explain to you why it's a controversial approach. He says here, Ach lekiven es hazman. He says Shlomo Melech was right in what he did. It just wasn't the right time for it. You know, his plan was good, his thing was like, but you know, he was trying to bring the era of Mashiach, and it wasn't yet the time. It wasn't the time for the world to be ruled by Torah and Yerushalayim. The problem with this is that there are other sources that say that Shlomo HaMelech had a good cheshbon, but his mistake was the following. He thought that with his wisdom and his understanding of the mitzvahs, he had a right to be over an aveira because he understood the root reason of a mitzvah. And he knew it didn't apply in his case. So that really, he understood he was really technically prohibited for marrying these women. But he chose to do it anyway because he said he was oimed, and he really was, on the tamei mitzvah. And he said that, well, now that I understand the reason for the mitzvah, I can tell you it doesn't apply here, and therefore I have a right to do this. So that's usually the understanding. Here in this print, it brings from a Medrash Rabbah that says that the Torah says, Layarba Laynashim, you're not supposed to have more than 18 wives. Why anybody want to have even 18 wives is beyond me. But he went and he took a thousand wives. I don't know if a thousand is literal or exaggeration, but you know, I remember when we learned it, we figured 1,000 wives, Sheva Brachas for each is 7,000 days. So we made a cheshbon, that's what, about 20 years worth of power of ice cream. It's, you know, you can get sick from that. So the point is that Chaim Volozhiner is saying he was right. He was right, it just wasn't the right time. It's not so simple. There he brings a medrash, actually a Gemara. In the end of the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, it says that Shlomo HaMelech wanted to judge a Devarim Shebelev. He understood people. He wanted to use that to paskin halachas. He said, no, there's a halacha. You can't make cheshbanos and circumvent halacha.
He doesn't do that. Ha'aricho even, Yiras Hashem. Yishmekos,
Okay, I don't think Gemara doesn't say that.
But
the Gemara, when Shlomo wanted to do it, it said you can't do it. Anyway, this is the, I guess, the aside regarding Shlomo HaMelech, this piece. But anyway, the point of Rav Chaim Volozhiner here is this point, that what you do has an effect. Even though we don't see it, we don't feel it, but if we believe there's a concept of Kedusha, of Tum and Tahara, and there's right and wrong, so then everything remains. I like very much this idea that once you put something on a computer and you delete it, it's never gone. It's always somewhere. That's what they say. Right? You can always go, and the person who knows enough can go and dig it up somehow. I like the idea very much because, you know, we always were taught that whatever a person does remains forever. And upstairs, you know, they have a place, a storage room, like they must have gigantic records, you know, of all these things. And now, you know, it is that way. You know, you delete something and a hacker comes in and he's able to get what you think you deleted. So,
they use NSA to bring the records up?
The NSA works for upstairs, you mean? Yeah. Okay. Except they're not foolish enough to let Snowden in. Okay. At any rate, this is the idea. Now I guess back to the Mishnah. It says this idea of many worlds is referenced by the expression ten mamaris. Maimarishnu behalum gadol, daka min hadaka. The first is the finest of creation, the narrowest expression of creation. Vasheni lamata imenu, yosef isgalos. The second one more revealed. Ad hamaimar haachrayin. Each of the ten mamorim were a greater expression of our physical world. Hashem created for a person to eat as mamish gashmias. Chaim ramas ladave basori hilulim. The ten hallels are rishinu hallel kel bekachai. The first hallel in the last capital of Tehillim is hallel kel bekachai, is just the Kedushas Hashem, Gavaya Me'al Gavaya, least visible. Ha'achrein b'tziltzilei s'rua. Negana dibur ha'achrein o'lam v'zeh ha'gashmi. Ha'derech b'ayimar chazal al-trua, yigenuchi gonach yolu yol, tarveyu esnu b'zeh ha'olam. The idea of halu b'tziltzilei s'rua is the banging of either weeping or different types of weeping. So here there are two points I would like to make. First of all, it's very interesting, the ten mamorim, he expresses as ten expressions of Giloy Hashem, of creation, of the physical world. Rav Shor calls the Asara Mamorais ten veils. See, there's an idea, we say that this world is Yesh Me'ayin. This world exists from nothingness. The way that Tanya expresses it, this world is Ayin Me'yesh. This world is a bunch of nothingness, and reality is a purely spiritual world. That's not a contradiction. This world is Yesh Me'ayim when we talk physically. It's Ayim Me'yesh when we talk spiritually. So he says this world is Giloy. He's talking physically. Spiritually, Rav Shor used to say that this world, the Tema Maris, are each veils. Each one hides Hashem's presence more and more. The more we understand nature, the more God's presence is hidden. So Rav Shor would say that the ten Makais are the ten Mamorim. Basar Mamoris Never Oilam. Basar Mamoris in reverse. In other words, the Ten Makis took away the veil that hid God's presence. So that, if you go in reverse order, taking when you put on ten veils, you remove the ten veils one at a time. So he has the, an expression of the Ten Makis being in a reverse expression of all of creation. The simplest is, let's say, Makas Bechairis is the first mimer, is Bereshis. Reshis and Bechairim are somehow connected. They're both firsts. The next is Vayhi Ar, and that's Chayshech. So that fits well. And so on. You have to, some of them work, about half of them fit well, and about half of them, require a certain amount of squeezing to make it fit. But anyway, that's the expression. I want to tell you an insight into the last Halalukas. We say the Halalukas every day. The Halalukas talk to a certain degree about nature and Kadosh Baruch Hu's being praised by nature. Perek Shira is Kadosh Baruch Hu being praised by nature. The last one is the hardest one to have Kavana. Tehillim ends with the most majestic of all Tehillim, of all the Kapitlach. It would end with the best, and it doesn't seem to say a whole lot that inspires a person. It says, for example, praise God with the blowing of the shofar, praise God with musical instruments, praise God with the drums and dancing. I mean, if you have other musical instruments, with tzitzilei shama, with bangs of sound, with tzitzilei srua, with banging of a trua sound, kala neshama ta'aluka haluka, just a bunch of musical instruments. So when I was learning Tehillim, I saw the most beautiful pshat in one of the Sephardic Gedolim on Tehillim. It's not a common sefer, but he says that, and it fits well with what Rav Chaim Volozhin is saying here, that really the last Halleluka is praise God when you're happy, when you're sad. Praise God when you're in love. Praise God when you're angry. Praise God when you're frustrated. Praise God when you feel holy. That's what it really means. All of the expressions of this last Mishnah are expressions of one thing or another. He said, Tzitzilei Srua is when you're sad. Teruah is Genuchei Ganech, is an expression of sadness. So, Tzitzilei Shama is an expression of joy. You want to let the world know. Each of them is an expression of Seifu Machel, is a dancing, each period of your life, praise Hashem. And he says that that's the idea. Mini v'ugav, he relates to feelings of love, and so on. Bikfu Raisav is a time of discipline. Kroy Gudlai is a time of chesed. Praise Hashem when he's gvuraisav, when you feel his midas ha-gvura, when you feel his midas ha-chesed. It's very nice. It gives a little bit of a understanding to this last kapitel. Okay, so next week, I hope Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and we'll try to pick up from his next theme right here.